Welcome to another deep dive, and today we're tackling something a lot of people struggle with: anxiety.
You said it's a pretty common one, right?
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't felt anxious at some point?
Totally, that feeling's totally normal, but today we're going deeper, right? We're talking about when anxiety becomes, well, a real problem.
Exactly, like when it's not just those pre-presentation jitters, but more of a constant feeling of dread that takes over your life.
Yeah. And it's not just a feeling, right? It impacts how you think, how you act, your whole life, basically.
And to make things even more complicated, there's this whole debate about the best way to manage it, right? Therapy or medication?
Ah, the age-old question.
Exactly. We've got a ton of research and expert opinions to sift through today, but the spoiler alert is there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
And that's what makes it so interesting, right?
Totally. But before we even dive into treatments, let's back up for a sec. What exactly are we talking about when we say anxiety disorders? What makes it different from just feeling anxious sometimes?
Right. So it's important to understand that everyone experiences anxiety at some point. It's just a normal human response to stress, to perceived threats. But when we're talking about anxiety disorders, these feelings of fear and worry, they become excessive.
Oh, I see.
And they're persistent. So it's like your internal alarm system is just stuck in the on position even when there's no real danger.
Yeah, I get that.
Like a constant state of high alert.
So we're not just talking about getting nervous before a big presentation.
Right, exactly. This is like constantly worrying about things that might never even happen or feeling dread for, you know, no apparent reason.
And it really impacts your daily life, your work, your relationships, everything.
It can, for sure.
Wow. And it's more common than we might think, right?
Yeah.
I was reading some stats like, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S.
It's true. Millions of people are affected.
That's pretty mind-blowing. So I guess finding the right treatment is crucial, which is what this deep dive is all about, right?
Hmm.
We're looking at two main paths: psychological therapies, also known as talk therapy, and medication.
Yeah, those are the big ones.
So starting with talk therapy, what's the overall philosophy there?
Well, talk therapies, they aim to address, well, the root of your anxiety, the root cause.
They dig deep. Basically.
Exactly. It's not just about like putting a band-aid on the symptoms.
Gotcha.
It's about understanding why you feel the way you do and equipping you with the tools to manage those feelings.
So it's less about a quick fix and more about a long-term solution.
That's a great way to put it.
It's about changing those patterns of thinking and behaving, right?
You got it.
That makes sense. So out of all these talk therapies, which one's the most like well-known? What we hear about all the time.
Probably cognitive behavioral therapy.
CBT. I've heard that a million times, but I'm still not exactly sure what it is.
So CBT, you can think of it as a way to like reprogram your brain in a sense.
Oh, wow. It helps you identify like those negative thought patterns and behaviors that, you know, feed your anxiety. And then you learn how to challenge those thoughts, how to replace them with ones that are more realistic, more helpful.
So it's not just about like positive thinking and telling yourself everything's okay?
It's deeper than that, for sure.
Okay.
It's about actually training your brain to perceive situations more accurately. And that naturally reduces anxiety.
So it's like teaching yourself to talk back to that inner critic, that voice that's always making things seem worse than they are.
Exactly. And that's one of the, I think, powerful things about CBT.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you, you know, that sense of control.
I like that.
And the cool thing is, it's usually short term, like typically 12 to 16 weeks.
Okay, that's not bad.
And it's very practical. It focuses on tools you can use immediately, mm-hmm. you know, in your daily life.
Sounds very hands-on. But I know CBT isn't the only type of therapy out there, right? What are some of the other approaches? Yeah, there's a whole range. So, for example, exposure therapy is particularly effective for phobias.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it involves gradual and controlled exposure to the thing you're afraid of.
So, like, if you're afraid of spiders, you'd slowly start, like, looking at pictures of spiders than maybe being in the same room as one.
Exactly. Yeah. And eventually working your way up to, you know, actually being near one.
But wouldn't that just make you more anxious?
Well, it might seem counterintuitive, but the idea is that repeated exposure, it actually reduces the intensity of the fear reaction over time.
Oh, interesting.
It's based on a principle called habituation.
So facing your fears head on can actually diminish them.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it can be very effective.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And what about those mindfulness therapies I keep hearing about?
Oh, right, mindfulness. That's a big one these days.
Yeah.
So mindfulness-based therapies, things like MBSR or ACT, they focus on being present in the moment.
Like really focusing on the here and now.
Yeah, and accepting those difficult emotions without judgment.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that can be really helpful for folks who get caught up in that cycle of worry about the future or, you know, regrets about the past.
Living in the now, I can see how that could be helpful for anxiety.
Yeah, it's about shifting your focus.
And didn't I read something about psychodynamic therapy being used for anxiety too?
You did. You're on top of your research.
I try.
So, yeah, psychodynamic therapy, that delves into unconscious conflicts from your past.
Whoa, deep stuff.
Yeah, it gets deep. And those conflicts might be contributing to your anxieties.
So it's like digging up those old issues that might be fueling your current anxiety.
Exactly. And while it's not as commonly used for anxiety specifically, it can provide, you know, really valuable insights for some people.
Okay, so it's another tool in that therapy toolbox.
You got it. It's about finding what works for you.
So we've got a lot of therapy options on the table, but can you break down, like, the overall benefits of going that route? What are the advantages of therapy?
All right, so a big one, and this is important. Therapy addresses those root causes of anxiety.
Okay, so it's not just masking the symptoms.
Not at all.
Okay.
It's about going deeper, and that means the effects tend to be longer lasting, right?
Makes sense.
You're not just managing the symptoms, you're actually working towards, you know, eliminating them or at least significantly reducing them.
So it's about learning those coping mechanisms that you can use throughout your life, not just in specific situations.
Exactly. And that's another big benefit. You learn to manage anxiety on your own terms.
And no side effects like you might get with medication.
Precisely.
That's a big plus.
And perhaps the most important thing is that therapy is, well, very personalized.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
It's about finding the approach that fits your unique needs and circumstances, you know?
Like a tailored approach to anxiety.
You got it.
That's pretty compelling. But now I'm curious about the other side of things. When would someone be prescribed medication for anxiety? Like, in what situation?
Okay, so medication is often considered, well, when anxiety is severe or debilitating, right?
When it's really impacting your life in a major way.
Yeah, like if it's significantly affecting your daily life, making it, you know, hard to work, hard to have relationships.
When it's really taking over.
Exactly. And it can also be an option if someone's, you know, looking for faster relief from those symptoms.
So in cases where the anxiety is like super intense, medication can help bring things under control quickly.
Exactly. It's like hitting the pause button on those intense symptoms, giving you a chance to, you know, breathe.
That makes sense. But I'm guessing there are different types of medications used, right? It's not just a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
No, you're absolutely right. We have a few different categories to look at.
Okay, so let's hear about them. What are the main types of medications used for anxiety?
Okay, so we have antidepressants.
Really? So the medications used for depression can help with anxiety too?
It might seem surprising, but yeah.
How does that work?
Well, specifically, we're talking about SSRIs and SNRIs.
Okay, those names sound familiar.
And they work by increasing the levels of certain neurotransmitters in your brain.
I've heard of those, like serotonin?
Serotonin, exactly. And norepinephrine. And those play a role in mood regulation, you know, and your stress response.
Interesting. So those medications help balance those chemicals in the brain.
Precisely. And it turns out that anxiety and depression, they often share, you know, underlying mechanisms in the brain.
Oh, wow. I never knew that. So that's why medications targeting those mechanisms can be helpful for both.
Exactly. It's a really fascinating connection.
That is fascinating.
Oh, oui.
But I'm guessing they don't work overnight, right? Yeah. Like you don't take one pill and suddenly you're anxiety free.
No, unfortunately not.
So how long does it usually take for those antidepressants to start working?
Typically a few weeks.
Oh, okay. So patience is key with this approach.
Yeah, you have to give it time.
So if someone is looking for more immediate relief, what are their options?
Right. So if you need something faster acting, then there are benzodiazepines.
I've heard of those. Are those still prescribed for anxiety?
Yes, they are. And they are known for their, well, fast acting effects.
So they can provide quick relief from like a really intense anxiety attack.
Yes, or even a panic attack.
And how do they work? What's the mechanism there?
So benzodiazepines, they enhance the effects of GABA.
GABA? Is that another neurotransmitter?
It is, and it has calming effects on the brain.
So it helps chill things out, basically.
Exactly.
But I've heard they're not recommended for long-term use. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Why is that?
Well, they have the potential to be habit-forming.
Oh, okay.
So long-term use can lead to dependence and, you know, unpleasant withdrawal symptoms if you try to stop taking them.
So they're like a good tool for a quick fix, but not something you want to rely on for a long time.
That's a good way to put it.
Are there any other medications for anxiety that we should know about?
Yep. There's also beta blockers.
Oh, I think I've heard of those.
Yeah, you might have. They're primarily used for heart conditions, but they can actually be helpful for managing the physical symptoms of anxiety.
What do you mean by physical symptoms of anxiety?
So things like, you know, a racing heart, trembling hands, that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. The fight or flight response kicking in.
Exactly. Yeah. And beta blockers work by, well, they block the effects of adrenaline, which is the hormone responsible for that fight or flight response.
So they don't directly address the underlying anxiety, but they help manage the body's reaction to it.
Exactly. They help calm those physical sensations, which can be really helpful in certain situations.
Like what kind of situations?
Well, think about, you know, public speaking or performance anxiety, those types of situations where the physical symptoms can be really intense.
That makes sense.
Beta blockers can make those situations more manageable.
So for someone who's really struggling with those physical manifestations of anxiety, beta blockers could be a good option.
Yeah, it's something to consider.
Okay, so we've got antidepressants for like long-term management. We've got benzodiazepines for quick relief. And we've got beta blockers for targeting those physical symptoms.
We've got a lot of options.
It is a lot to take in. Can we just quickly summarize the benefits of the medication route overall?
Sure. So as we've discussed, the main advantage is that speed of relief, especially with benzodiazepines. For folks who have really severe anxiety, that immediate calming effect can be, you know, crucial.
It can help them function, get through the day.
Exactly. And medication can also be very effective in those cases where therapy alone, you know, might not be enough.
So it sounds like medication can be a pretty powerful tool for managing those more intense cases of anxiety.
Absolutely. But remember, it doesn't have to be either.
What do you mean?
Medication and therapy, they can work really well together.
Like a combination approach.
Exactly. And for a lot of people, that's the most effective strategy.
Okay, that makes sense. So combining the two approaches could provide a more comprehensive way to address anxiety.
Yeah, and more holistic, addressing both the mental and the physical.
So how does that typically work? If someone is using both medication and therapy, what does that look like in practice?
So think of it like this. Medication can be really helpful, especially in those early stages when anxiety is, you know, really intense.
Oh, okay.
It kind of provides that, you know, that initial relief helps you stabilize things a bit.
So you can actually function.
Exactly. And that makes it easier to actually engage in therapy.
Because when you're super anxious, it's hard to focus on anything else.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the medication kind of helps create that breathing room, that space to start, you know, working on those long-term coping skills.
So it's like laying the groundwork.
Yeah, you could say that. And then as you progress in therapy, as you start to, you know, internalize those coping skills, you might find that you need less medication.
So you're not just masking the problem, you're actually addressing it.
Precisely. And in some cases, you know, you might even be able to gradually taper off the medication completely.
Wow, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for people to transition from that combined approach to, you know, relying solely on the tools they've developed through therapy.
So it shows that with the right support, you can actually move toward managing your anxiety without being completely reliant on medication.
Absolutely. It's about empowering you, right? Giving you the tools to manage those feelings effectively.
I love that. It's about taking back control. But I imagine for a lot of people listening, the big question is like, okay, how do I actually decide which path is right for me? Therapy, medication, or both? I mean, it must feel overwhelming to try to figure that out.
It's a very valid question. And yeah, it can be overwhelming. It's a personal journey, right? There's no like one size fits all answer.
And I'm guessing there are a lot of factors that come into play when you're making this decision.
Absolutely, there are.
So where do you even begin? Like, what are the things you should consider?
Well, a good starting point is to consider like the severity of your anxiety.
Okay, so how bad is it, basically?
Yeah, like how much is it impacting your life? As we mentioned, you know, for mild to moderate cases, therapy is often a good place to start.
So if you're feeling anxious, but it's not completely derailing your life, therapy might be that first step.
Exactly. You can learn those coping skills, you know, without the potential downsides of medication.
Right. But what about those really severe cases where anxiety is like really debilitating?
Then medication might be necessary, at least initially.
To kind of get things under control.
Exactly. It's like needing that extra support to create some breathing room so you can actually benefit from therapy.
That makes sense. But, you know, you've painted a pretty rosy picture of therapy, but what about people who like really struggle to open up in therapy, or people who can't afford it? Yeah. Are there any alternatives for them?
That's a really important point. Access to therapy can be a huge barrier, whether it's financial or, you know, maybe you just don't feel comfortable talking to a therapist.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But the good news is there are other options. There are support groups, self-help books, online resources, things like that.
That's good to know.
And even some lifestyle changes can make a difference. Things like regular exercise, mindfulness practices, getting enough sleep.
So it's not all about therapy or medication.
Yeah.
There are other things you can do to help manage anxiety.
Exactly. And it's about finding what works best for you.
It's about having options.
Absolutely.
And remembering that there's no right or wrong answer here.
Exactly. It's what feels right for you, what aligns with your individual needs and preferences.
I like that. It's about finding what resonates with you.
Exactly. And, you know, your needs might change over time, then that's okay.
So you might need to adjust your approach, like what works for you now might not work for you later.
Precisely. Flexibility is key.
That's a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about the different approaches, therapy, medication, or a combination of the two. But how about that time frame for relief? Like, if someone really wants to feel better quickly, is medication the only option?
Well, medication, especially those benzodiazepines, they do offer that quick relief.
Yeah, we talked about that.
But it's important to remember that, you know, that quick fix, it's not a long-term solution.
Right. And there's that potential for dependence and withdrawal.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's about weighing those pros and cons, right? The quick fix versus the more sustainable benefits of therapy.
Precisely.
And we can't forget about side effects. We touched on that earlier.
Right. Medication can sometimes have those unwanted side effects, right?
Which can impact your life just as much as the anxiety itself sometimes.
It can, for sure.
Whereas therapy, you know, it offers that side effect free approach.
It does. And at the end of the day, it often comes down to personal preference, you know.
Right. Like some people might just feel more comfortable with medication. They want that quick action.
Yeah.
While others might prefer that more active approach of therapy, they want to be involved in the process.
Exactly. It's about finding a treatment approach that aligns with, you know, your values, what feels right for you personally.
I like that. It's about having that agency, that choice.
Absolutely. No judgment here.
Right. It's your journey.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about therapy, medication, and that those can work together.
The combination approach.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the advantages of, you know, using both therapy and medication together?
It's about creating that solid foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Medication, it can help stabilize those intense symptoms, especially in those early stages.
We talked about before, yeah.
Exactly. So you get some relief, some stability, and that allows you to actually, you know, fully engage in therapy.
You can actually focus on those long-term coping skills.
Exactly.
So it's like that initial boost you might need.
You could say that. And then as you progress in therapy, as those skills, you know, become more ingrained, you might find you need less medication.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you can even wean off it completely.
Really?
Completely.
Yeah. Under a doctor's supervision, of course.
Right. Of course. But it's not uncommon. A lot of people transition from that combined approach to just relying on the tools they've learned in therapy.
So that's really hopeful, right? It shows that with the right support, you can move towards managing your anxiety without, you know, needing to rely on medication forever.
That's the goal, to equip you with the knowledge, the skills, to live a life that's not, you know, controlled by anxiety.
It's about reclaiming that sense of control, right?
Exactly. And remember, it's a journey, right? It's not like you reach a destination and you're done.
Yeah, there will be ups and downs.
Absolutely. There might be times when you need more support.
Okay.
Whether it's medication or, you know, maybe intensifying therapy, it's about having that toolbox of strategies.
And knowing when to use them, right?
Exactly.
It's great to know that you don't have to have it all figured out from the start, you know?
Yeah, you don't.
It's about figuring out what works for you at each stage.
Precisely.
And I guess that's where working with a, you know, a healthcare professional or a mental health professional can be really helpful.
Absolutely. They can help you assess your needs.
Yeah.
Weigh the pros and cons of each option.
And help you figure out what's best for your situation.
Exactly.
So it's really important to seek out that guidance, to find someone who understands anxiety.
You trust, yeah.
And can support you on that journey.
It's about collaboration.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've gone deep into therapy, medication, you know, the whole shebang.
It's been a deep dive for sure.
And I hope it's given you some insights, some hope, maybe even some sense of empowerment.
I hope so too. There are so many options out there.
So before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this question to think about.
Okay, I like questions.
Knowing what you now know about managing anxiety, what feels like the most important factor for you. Is it that speed of relief?
Right. How quickly do you want to feel better?
Or is it those long-term benefits?
Right. Learning those lasting coping skills.
Or maybe it's about avoiding those side effects.
Yeah, that's important for a lot of people.
Or maybe it's just about finding an approach that feels right for you, that aligns with your values. Take some time to think about it.
What are your priorities? What resonates with you?
And remember, relief is possible.
It really is.
With the right support, you know, you can regain control over your anxiety.
You can live a life that's not, you know, defined by fear and worry.
So keep exploring, keep learning, and most importantly, keep taking care of yourselves.
Couldn't have said it better myself.